It's Brian Tetta, executive producer of The View. While we're taking a pause this week, we're excited to share something special with you. Pop Culture Moms is a new podcast from our friends at Good Morning America, where two best friends chat about the ups and downs of parenthood and what they've learned from the iconic moms we all know and love from TV and movies. Today, we bring you their episode featuring the moms behind Big Little Feelings and the After Bedtime podcast. If you like it, go ahead and click the link in our episode description for more Pop Culture Moms, or search for the show and follow wherever you're listening. Enjoy, and we'll see you right back here for new Behind the Table episodes on Monday.
Oh, hi, honey.
Hi, honey.
As you know, my husband, like so many husbands before him, is just completely obsessed with football.
He is.
And it shows in my living room, where he mounted a ludicrously large television.
I have seen it. It is downright garish.
But lately, something very entertaining has been happening on Sundays. He plops himself down on the couch to watch football, and the kids are revolting. So he ends up having to switch the big TV to whatever it is they've requested, and he's stuck watching his overpriced NFL package on an iPad, or even worse, his phone.
Them's the breaks, Steve.
Yeah, it's just the price we're all going to have to pay for peace, and he's paying it, really. But I'm all about using TV with my children. I know it's the unpopular opinion, but I don't really want to set a time limit on TV. I love TV so much that I work in television. I now podcast about television. And if my kids can watch a show quietly while I cook dinner or finish work or just like have a second to be free, I'm all for it.
I wish that my kids watch more TV, to be totally frank. Like, I wish that they could sit through like a Disney movie with me.
Oh, my kids are in it because I've been training them from the jump.
See, no, that's expert parenting.
Yeah, they've inherited it from me. They can watch a whole movie.
So jealous.
But they're really into shows right now. You know, they had a real Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood phase, and that's based on Mr. Rogers. So, you know, Mom Tiger's doing all the right stuff. She's got all the right moves. But currently, they're big, big into Bluey.
I think I'm going to go ahead and say it. The best mom of all time, and I'm not just limiting it to kids' cartoons. I think Chili Healer from Bluey is the best mom we've seen in media.
Yes, yes. My goodness, yes. She's the queen of cartoon moms. I laugh, I cry, I watch it after they go to bed sometimes.
Yes.
It's truly Oscar-worthy in my eyes. She's so fun, and she's such a good mother. I aspire to be like her, even if she is just a dog.
It's true. She's funny and warm and confident, and yet she's still so relatable because we see her struggle sometimes. Like, there's an episode called Sticky Gecko. Do you know this one?
Yes, I love Sticky Gecko.
I can't find it.
Have you looked?
Yeah, I've looked everywhere.
Oh, there it is.
Oh, yeah.
It's a really good example of Chili's mothering. She's trying to get everyone out the door to meet Judo and Wendy, their friends.
But hurry up!
Sorry!
And she's trying to be patient with her kids. She indulges them in their game.
Roller skates! Mom, Gekki!
Sorry! Come on, Gekki!
But she's also trying to teach them the importance of being on time and respecting other people. And I think that's the delicate balance of, like, showing your real emotions to your kids, but, like, having some sort of, you know, restraint and patience with them and trying to do your best every day.
Yeah, and there's so many examples of that. There's like Baby Race, where she's comparing her baby's development to other babies, and that just made me as a mom feel good, like, oh yeah, everyone's thinking that.
Like, we all have that insecurity, yes.
Yeah.
Are you upset with me that I lost the Baby Race?
No, sweetie. Look, we were all learning to do things for the first time. I just felt like I was doing everything wrong.
But, you know, Chili seems to be using a type of parenting style that's similar to gentle parenting. She's considerate of Bluey and Bingo's feelings. She's setting boundaries. She's helping them grow.
Yes.
She's kind. She's fun. She's playful.
She has a really beautiful relationship with her husband, Bandit. They're basically doing, I think, the sort of parenting that we aspire to. I think that's what we're trying to do with our kids.
I know. We should make our new life motto, "What would Chili Healer do?"
WWCHD. Get it on a bumper sticker.
I'm Andy Mitchell.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg. From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, this is Pop Culture Moms. Our guests today, two moms who embody all of the characteristics of our favorite cartoons, Kristen Gallant and Dina Margolin, are the moms and parenting experts behind Big Little Feelings. It's a resource hub, including courses, videos, you name it, to help mothers and fathers navigate the ups and downs of parenting. They share their advice with over 3 million followers on Instagram, followers including Blake Lively, Eva Mendez, and Andy Cohen. And if it's good enough for them, it's good enough for us. They also just launched a parenting podcast called After Bedtime with Big Little Feelings, and we had such a fun time chatting with them. More Pop Culture Moms after this quick break.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one Group Text you won't want to exit.
Hi, I'm Frances Fry.
And I'm Ann Morris.
And we are the hosts of a new TED podcast called Fixable.
We've helped leaders at some of the world's most competitive companies solve all kinds of problems.
On our show, we'll pull back the curtain and give you the type of honest, unfiltered advice we usually reserve for top executives.
Maybe you have a coworker with boundary issues, or you want to know how to inspire and motivate your team.
Give us a call, and we'll help you solve the problems you're stuck on.
Find Fixable wherever you listen.
So, Dina, Kristen, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi.
Thanks for having us.
You know, I reached out to you, Kristen, after I listened to your podcast about where you talked about your birth story.
Yeah.
And I just feel like I need to share this with the world that I also planned to have my child so that he could be a Virgo.
Oh, I love that.
And I just...
Two peas in a pod, you guys.
Yeah. I think it's important that you know that this is a Virgo way of life.
This is
maybe
a safe space for Virgos.
Yeah. I'm married to a Virgo, so I'm very comfortable here.
Yeah.
Are you a Virgo too?
I am a Virgo.
Okay,
yes.
So we are two Virgos who planned our Virgo babies.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean,
I'm going to sit with that for a second.
That's yeah.
Not judging.
I feel comforted because I do feel like it's borderline, you know, borderline questionable. And I'm glad we're in this together and somebody else has done it. We can't be the only ones who like, if you chose, listen, I didn't like choose really, you know what I mean? They just offered me dates and I happened to demand to have a Virgo date.
And I actually did choose, like I
yeah,
planned
good for you.
To become pregnant because I was like, I would like a Virgo. I mean, I had a scheduled C-section, so I was even like doing the star chart for the time.
Girl.
Like
yes.
Before the baby was born, which is so insane.
I have chills. You're speaking my love language.
But I just love that you share so much of your lives. I feel like we're in a friendship that's very one-sided. I'm following you on Instagram.
Does not feel one-sided.
Not at all.
Not at all.
Ladies, I want to ask you, so I am aware of Big Little Feeling parenting as kind of like essentially gentle parenting. How would you describe your parenting philosophies?
Yeah, well, we don't really love the term gentle parenting. And it's not just for us at Big Little Feelings, but also just in general. I think it puts this like blanket label on parents and moms, and it sort of starts this whole like mommy war thing where you have to do things a certain way. Almost reminds me of the whole attachment thing that got out of control, where it's like attachment means like breastfeeding and co-sleeping until 15 and this and that. And if you don't, you ruin them forever. So we don't classify ourselves as gentle parenting. We take different approaches that we find to be amazing. We take Dina's experience in her child therapy practice and working with Dan Siegel, who's a pioneer in interpersonal neurobiology. And we mix all that together with the practicality of just being a normal mom. And that's where Big Little Feelings really comes from. It's the neuroscience and then the reality.
I'll just tell you, that's all we need. That's all we need is lived experience with a little bit of data.
Yeah,
a little bit of a foundation of knowledge.
And what do you think is the advice that you give parents that you struggle with most as parents?
I mean, I would say the number one thing is you're not messing this up. Like, I think a lot of us, and this is what we hear on our page too, and I know I've struggled with it, at the end of a long day, you sit on your couch, you're in the shower, and you are just looping on all the things you didn't do, what you didn't get done, the to-do list, you snapped, and you just kind of beat yourself up. And I feel like the number one thing we hear is, am I messing my kids up? And the answer is no. Honestly, like, we're human. We're not going to get it right all the time, every time. And us doing our best is enough.
Absolutely. I want to know what your moms were like. Like, how did your moms parent you? And how, I guess, did that inform the mother that you are to your children?
Yeah, that's a complex question. Is we had two different experiences. I came from a more chaotic, unstable home. And, you know, it has completely shaped the way that I parent and what I'm devoted to every day in my life, in my home, but also in my business. And my dad, he died by suicide, which I've talked about quite often. And that was really the pivotal moment. I wasn't even sure if I was going to have kids before that. And in that moment, I knew what matters is family and kids and a home and stability. And I really, that was the moment that sort of I became devoted to like this movement.
Yeah. And I would say too, for me, I'm really close to my mom. I talk to her every day still. I love her so much. And she is a strong woman who went through a lot of trauma. And when you start to look back in the generations of my family, you can start to identify the generational coping patterns, the ways that we all dealt with, honestly, just like a ton of trauma down the line, where no one was talking about research and parenting and how to communicate and coping skills. And you can just see how it kind of got passed down from generation to generation. A lot of us just going through hard things and never really having skills that were taught to us. And so I feel like I'm the first in my family to really feel it, heal it, and try to change that pattern.
You are.
Thank you.
It's amazing.
Every day.
Amazing.
More Pop Culture Moms after this quick break.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
I think it's interesting because you, it's like you speak of trauma from growing up in childhood. And I think that's something that as parents now, I know, like Sabrina and I agree, you can understand how people can become like a snowplow parent or like a lawnmower parent who wants to like kind of clear the way for your kids and make sure that they don't have the traumatic experiences that, let's say, we grew up with. Mm-hmm. But then it's interesting because that trauma that we might be preventing our kids from, or that we would want to prevent them from experiencing, has probably really informed who we become, obviously. And for the two of you, I think it's very evident.
Yeah, your trauma, your early life experiences literally shape how your brain develops. It shapes your whole nervous system. And I think that's the tricky part is, not to get too into the science, but when you're a little kid, it shapes how you view the world. It shapes how you view yourself, and it shapes how you deal with tough situations. And I think, you know, you're right. There's a difference between trauma and there's a difference between hard things. Like, life is going to be full of hard things, and we want to teach our kids how to be resilient, how to navigate those hard situations in a constructive way. You know, Kristen and I had to work really hard to get there.
I was going to say, I think also, like, we're a work in progress, and yeah, you're not going to see every, although we do share a lot of difficult moments, which is nice. You know, it means we're all together. But there's a lot of work behind the scenes, mm-hmm, and there's a lot of kind of stepping backwards and then being like, oh, wow, my anxiety is very triggered right now. You know, I'm falling into sort of old thoughts or old patterns. Got to get back into weekly therapy. You know, we're both really hyper vigilant with our mental health. Yeah, bless therapy. Yeah. That this is an ongoing, I joke with my therapist, I'm like, I'll be throwing you your retirement party. You know, this is forever. This is like ongoing. We didn't just heal. We're not evolved. It's very sweet of you to say that. We are. We're growing, and it's such hard work, but it really is a work in progress. Like, we're not perfect at all.
And you can build your brain like anytime.
Is it harder later, though? It feels harder for me. Like, I'm tired.
Yeah, once you're an adult,
harder.
Yeah. We're tired.
Yeah.
It's exhausting.
It's exhausting working on yourself. Yeah.
You say about the retirement party. I was joking with my mother yesterday that, like, I started going to therapy when I was in the first grade.
Yeah.
In school. And I'm like, I'm going to be doing this for my entire life.
Yes.
I'm so over it.
Yes.
You know? Sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm sick of myself.
Yeah, same.
Oh, this woman.
Can we talk about something else?
That resonates. Yes.
What do you think is a belief you had about parenting before you became parents that now you think like, oh, that was completely off?
Oh, my God. I mean, I could answer this first, that, like, I think Dina might have been different because, first of all, before she became a mom, she was a child therapist. I'm just going to admit it. I was probably the worst friend to have. Luckily, I was the first one to have babies, but I was probably the worst sister to have. Like, I absolutely was like, I am not going to ever let them touch an iPad. I'm going to breastfeed them until they're 25. I'm going to do this. I'm never going to do that. I was totally that person. And the only solace I have from that, Dina can attest to this, I will never judge a mother or father or parent for anything. And they could say anything to my face and it could be the most shocking thing on earth. And I'll be like, I get that. That's cool. Yeah, that's what works for you. Like, that's awesome. Because I was so judgmental before I had kids and I had no idea. I just had no idea.
That's so relatable.
Not a clue.
100%. I had so many ideas about food with my kids. I wasn't particularly judgmental, but I was like, I'm not going to be giving them gushers.
Yep.
And then you're giving them gushers. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. We're all ending up giving them what we did not
I'm
set out
them
to
too,
give
you know?
Them.
You know what I mean?
Well, we all have toddlers in this group, right? So we spend a lot of time watching the cartoons that our kids watch. So I think it's fun to talk about, are there examples of mothers that we see on these shows that really resonate with you, that you like their parenting style?
We watch a lot of Daniel Tiger.
Yeah, same.
Love Mom Tiger.
Yeah.
She's a boss. Let me just start out by saying that.
Yeah.
She's a carpenter. She fixes things.
She's the only one wears pants because, like, she's wearing the pants in the house.
That's right.
I love that. I love
Dad Tiger doesn't have pants on.
Yeah. She's, like, calmly helping you through moments.
I just love that in three seasons, she was a stay-at-home mom.
I was about
mom,
to say this. Yeah.
Which, by the way, is a very real job.
Yeah.
Very hard, very rewarding. As Kristen can speak to
full-time
as well.
Full-time job. Full-time. Beyond.
And then I think I love that they represent like a very real thing of that a lot of families go through, a lot of kids, and mom's going to work.
Yeah, like I think season four, right? She sits down with Daniel Tiger and talks about going back to work.
Right now, I have to go to work.
Work? But I want you to play with me.
I know, but remember how we talked about my new job?
I remember.
He gets to see her with her, like, tool belt and all her tools.
You're a carpenter. You build things for people.
That's right. And I fix things, too.
That was definitely one of my favorite, my absolute favorite episodes.
He gets to have his feelings. She helps him through it. Yeah. She's so supportive.
Yeah. That was nice to see as, like, a working mom.
Mm-hmm.
That is so nice.
Yeah.
Do you think she's a Big Little Feelings style mom?
100%. You know? If anything, though, to be a little bit specific, Big Little Feelings, you'd need to make a mistake once in a while, you know? And I don't know if Daniel Tiger's mom ever has. Maybe she has.
There was one time.
Was there?
It stopped me in my tracks because of my personal trauma.
I love that. What did she do?
So Daniel wanted to have an inside beach.
Yeah.
So he brought sand in the house and dumped it on the floor.
Well, I'm triggered.
And he was like, Mom, are you mad? And she was like, Daniel, I am mad.
Okay.
And I was like, oh no, are you mad at us?
Yeah.
You know? And then they worked through it. And then they worked right through it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. I feel like it's just, you know, the Bluey mom, she like straight up will make mistakes. And they kind of show that.
Love
and it's kind of nice. She's like, guys, I've hit my limit. I need you to leave the kitchen now. And it's like, that's kind of nice. Oh my God. And there was one episode where the dad like pans to the camera and is like, you're doing an amazing job with your kids. And I was like crying, you know?
My husband and I sometimes see ourselves watching it after the children have gone to bed. Like, it'll still be on, and I'm like, this is excellent.
You have that moment, it hits you, you're like, wait a second, no, let's keep doing it.
Just a bop. Just a bop. Just a theme song alone.
What do you guys think the biggest misconception is about your parenting style?
I think the misconception is sometimes that it's like a rainbows and butterfly, and like when you listen to feelings, like, oh, you know, you let your kid just do whatever they want and they get to rule everything and they have control of the family, and that talking about feelings is somehow going to create these fragile snowflake children who are so delicate.
Yeah, you need like to toughen up your kid for
it's
a tough world, and you guys are too soft on them. And that's why, again, the term gentle parenting, it doesn't resonate, because to me, carrying a three-year-old that is flopping like a fish and screaming out of the park feels like anything but gentle, right? This feels very like firm, not in a bad way, firm in a confident way. Like, this is confident parenting where I'm just like, calm, cool, collected. I'm going to swoop you up now. We're leaving the park. It's okay to be sad. It's the biggest misconception is it's so like gentle and do whatever you want, when in fact it's actually really just like confident and in control.
Boundaries.
And
and leaves room for their emotions, so that if you allow them to experience they're not going to be scared of their own emotions. They're not going to need to numb them like we are. I speak for myself. Should need to distract constantly from my emotions. No, but that's like a beautiful idea, that just that you're a confident, empathic leader.
Yeah.
They're allowed to have their feelings. We're going to have our feelings. There are moments where I'm like, you know what? I feel frustrated. I have to take a second and collect myself. And like Kristen said, there are moments where that doesn't happen.
We always equate it to like the best boss you've ever had, because I think when you think about it as an adult, it makes so much sense. And why are we like reinventing the wheel for how kids learn versus what adults would want? So you think of the best boss you ever had. They're calm, they're cool, they're collected, they're leading the show. You know that they're going to take care of things, and they appreciate your feedback. They want to hear what you have to offer. If you make a mistake, they're not going to shame you or fire you or hold a grudge over your head. They're going to help you through that mistake and show you how to do it better. And then the worst boss that you've ever had is, you know, out there really controlling, they're really domineering, they're harping on every teeny tiny thing you ever do. And for me, when I had a really bad boss, I would sit in my office, I would show up on time because I'm terrified at this point. I'm going to sit there and I'm going to daydream about the day that I can walk out of this office and never come back. And frankly, that's how I thought my whole childhood. I was 5 years old and being just waiting for the day that I could leave. And I'll never raise my children that way. They deserve to have a voice. And I am still the one who's going to hold the boundaries, keep everybody safe. But listen, this is your home too.
I coped the other way, by the way. I tried to be perfect, play exactly by the rules, do everything just right, lived in fear of making mistakes, and would just shove all my feelings and needs down to try and be what someone else wanted, and totally lost track of myself. And I totally agree that, you know, my mission in life is to help my kids be themselves and learn how to make mistakes, that every mistake is an opportunity to really grow. And that's life. It's not going to be perfect.
Yeah. Speaking of people that make mistakes, are there any moms, fictional moms on TV or movies that you really relate to or that you look at and you're like, oh, let's not do that?
I only watch reality television because I need an escape.
Thank you.
You know what I mean? I need to just escape at the end of the day. So I could go all day long on reality TV.
Good question for you then. Which housewife do you think you'd let babysit your kids?
Oh, my God. Cool. Thank you for this question. All of them, because I love them blindly. You know, I mean, maybe I'd have a nanny cam. Maybe I'd have baby. Maybe for a couple of them, I'd have a nanny cam.
Not blind trust.
Yeah, not blind trust. I don't even know. I would have to think about that. Dina, do you have one that's like, who's the most maternal housewife? Ooh, Dorinda is like a hostess.
I was going to say Dorinda.
She's going to feed you. We're just hoping it's earlier in the day. Maybe we're not drinking, you know?
Yeah.
But like Dorinda, 8 a.m. Dorinda, you know? Yeah. She's going to throw them a holiday party. Yeah, get them a Santa. Maybe there's just a chaperone.
For sure.
You know?
I love Heather Gay in Salt Lake City.
Absolutely.
I have so many.
Oh, my God, so many.
I think there are a lot of, I think there's actually a surprising, like a lot of great moms in all of the franchises.
I think they're all doing great.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, what do you think like the biggest advice you would give to parents struggling with, you know, handling their kids' tantrums and big feelings?
I think my number one tip, I don't know about yours, but mine would be to give yourself a little bit of grace. Like, we are not going to get it 100% of the time. And I think that parenting is the one job in the entire world where we are so hypercritical when we make one mistake, or just, God, we just shame ourselves when we are short. We have to buffer in 70%, like, okay, 70% of the time, 60% of the time, we're holding it together, we're responding in a pretty good way, still doesn't need to be perfect. And like, really allowing ourselves to mess up, because it's going to happen anyways. So if you can just give yourself that grace to begin with, I think you can just show up a better parent the next day anyways. And by the way, another tip right up behind it is probably then repair and apologizing is like the best tip, because you're doing something good in the end. You're apologizing and showing your kid that you're showing up for them.
You own it. You acknowledge their feelings and say, sorry if that made you feel sad and scared. I totally get it. And I'm going to work on, you know, handling my big feelings next time without yelling.
Yeah.
It's exactly what you would want them to learn for their life.
Yeah,
and help them understand that they're not going to be perfect. And they're all going to make mistakes and can still be a family who loves each other.
And you're also like reprogramming and remaking a story of what just happened, right? So you yell, because we're all going to yell. I yell. You yell and your kid goes to bed. And the story is like, I was bad. My mom yelled or my dad yelled. And when you swoop in and you calmly just give it 10 seconds, apologize, and take that story away from I'm bad and I'm shame by giving them that power of like, oh, it wasn't me. Mommy's saying that it was her and she's going to work on it and it was her big feelings. Awesome. You just literally reprogrammed their brain and how they remember that moment and how they're thinking of themselves over and over and over again.
Like, I literally had to do this the other day.
Yeah.
I was like, listen, it wasn't you. Yeah. I'm having a hard day and that was not your fault and I'm sorry.
I never can remember being apologized to. And I think I apologize to my children, I don't know, daily for something. I'm like, oof, I should have been a little more calm. That's great advice.
That's great. You're doing great.
Yeah.
You know, I've learned so much from you guys, and I'm so glad that you took the time to talk to us today.
My God, we were so happy to be here.
This is so fun.
Yeah.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you. And enjoy your time in New York City.
Yes, thank you. I'm going to eat a bagel and take a nap.
Yeah.
Oh, that's exciting.
More coffee.
Yeah.
Yes, more coffee. Always more coffee.
That was our conversation with Dina Margolin and Kristen Gallant, the parenting experts behind Big Little Feelings. This episode touched on the difficult subject of self-harm. If you are struggling with thoughts of suicide or worried about a friend or loved one, call or text the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline at 988 for free confidential emotional support 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Sabrina, that really did a number on me.
I know, it was shocking.
Let me just say, I wasn't expecting Dorinda.
I know. But you know what? There's always hope that Heather Gay will babysit our kids. I'm Sabrina Kohlberg.
I'm Andy Mitchell. Next week on Pop Culture Moms, we'll talk to writer Chloe Cooper Jones. Her stunning memoir, Easy Beauty, mesmerized me so much I truly could not stop talking about it.
I can vouch for that. Pop Culture Moms is a production of ABC Audio in partnership with Good Morning America, hosted by me, Sabrina Kohlberg.
And me, Andy Mitchell. Our show is produced by Camille Peterson, Asal Asanapur, Sabrina Kohlberg, and me.
Music by Evan Viola.
Special thanks to Susie Liu, Josh Cohan, Ariel Chester, Liz Alessi, Iru Ekpenobi, and Simone Swink, the executive producer of GMA.
Laura Mayer is the executive producer of podcasts for ABC Audio. And then I think you have to play the Bluey theme song.
Oh, it's
iconic.
The best.
Mom!
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one Group Text you won't want to exit.